holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Let me read verse number 4 and 5. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. You see that? We have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Let me just go ahead and finish reading. Having then gifts different according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good, be kindly affectionate one to another, with brotherly love and honor prefer one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through verse 21. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege you've given us, Lord, tonight to be in your house. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Father, for your grace and mercy. I pray, Lord, you illuminate this mind, guard these lips of clay, and help us, dear Father, tonight. I do pray to say what's needful and necessary in this hour. I pray, Lord, to be well-pleasing in your sight. Now, I pray that you open the ears of the hearers, Lord, tonight. And I pray, Lord, you touch me and help me, Father. I do pray to bring this forth as you've given it to me. And I pray, God, you'd help us as we study the precious Word of God. And, Lord, I pray that we can leave here tonight. It has been good to be in the house of the Lord. Have your will and way in all that's said and done. In Jesus' loving name, I do pray and ask these things. Amen. And amen. I want to call your attention to verse number 3, where the Bible there says, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you." That we talked about that just a little bit the other night. I want to deal with it just a little bit again tonight. For everyone that is among you. Now, remember, he's talking to the brethren. He's talking to the saved. He's talking to the church. Those that are among you. Every man that is among you. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And we know that pride goeth before fall. Amen? The book of Proverbs talks a lot about pride, and I'm not going to preach a lot on pride tonight. Pride's not my direction. But the Bible has a lot to say about that. Amen? A man that thinks more highly than he ought to think of himself, he's full of pride. And, hello, is everybody with me? He's full of pride. Proverbs chapter number 11, verse number 2, "When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom." So the Bible says there, when pride cometh, not if pride cometh, but when pride cometh. And it's come, amen. People get puffed up with pride. Those people that are saved in church, and they think, well, I'd never do that, preacher. And they will do that. Amen. You have to be careful puffing up with pride, thinking of yourself more highly than what you ought to think. So that's what that verse of Scripture is teaching us. And we have to be careful with this thing called pride that it doesn't get in our life. We think of pride. We think of people that's puffed up and people that think they're better than everybody else. And, sometimes it can be related that way. But a lot of times it's other avenues that we find pride. We find pride in people that think can't nobody do it like they do it. Amen. We find pride in people that think that they can't nobody sing like they sing. Can't nobody preach like they preach. Can't nobody walk like they walk. And I'm glad, thank God, nobody can do the things that I do. Amen. There's only one mess like me, and we don't need another one. Amen. But pride, people get pride in their heart, in their mind, and they think that they're the only ones that can do it. Nobody else can do anything the way they do it. And so the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before fall. And reading those two verses of Scripture, Proverbs chapter 11, Proverbs chapter 16, we find that pride cometh and pride goeth. And as you know, as I've mentioned many times before, on that English language, when you add that E-T-H on the end of the word, that is a continuing thought. So pride continues to come, amen? And then when we come to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, the Bible says that pride goeth before destruction. That simply means that pride is first before destruction. And it continues to do that. Before destruction, there's pride. Amen? And people get so wrapped up in things and get wrapped up in their self and think that they're the greatest or they're the best or whatever. And listen, they get wrapped up in pride and filled with pride. And God don't like pride. Amen? The seventh thing that God hates, and one of those is a proud look. Amen? God don't like pride. He cast that mess out. And here the Bible teaches us that. Verse number 18 of chapter 16 of Proverbs, the Bible said, pride goeth before destruction, the haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Now that's just Bible, amen? Then Paul is saying to those that at Rome, the brethren, every man of you that's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. And he's dealing with this aspect of pride in our faith. I would never do that. I would never do those things. I would never think those thoughts. Well, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. You're made of the same thing everybody else is made. Tonight, believe this or not, everybody here is guilty of committing sin. Amen. Everybody has the opportunity to commit sin. Amen. Everybody has the capability of committing murder. Oh, I would never do that. Watch what you say. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. What if you're put in a situation and temptation and you're put in that situation? Amen. Just Bible. I said pride wasn't my message tonight. I really want to go in another direction. I want you to get an understanding, though, what he's saying, though, when it's dealing with our faith. Don't think that you're walking on water. Amen. Some people, because they've been in church all their life, they think that they won't never do none of those things that everybody else has done. I've watched them do it, I've watched them come, and I've watched them go, and I'll never do none of those things. You better be careful with that attitude. Amen? Because you're gullible and you're in trouble. Amen. We know that the Bible teaches us to study, to pray, and stay on our knees. Amen? Because we're made out of flesh and bone, and we can fall just like all the rest of them did. Amen. I know that I've heard people say that they would, piano players say, well, I'd never run off with a deacon in the church. I'd never run off. Well, just be careful what you're saying. Don't think that you're better than that. I know preachers that say, well, I could do a much better job than what they're doing. Be careful what you say. Amen. Is everybody with me? All right. Don't think more highly of himself than what he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. One of the problems I have listen, I'm not being critical tonight. I know there's God's men. I understand that. There's a lot of good, godly men that stand for truth, stand for right. Amen? There's a crowd out there. You better be careful hanging around. I know churches who the pastor thinks he's God. And the people must bow down to him, almost. I mean, not literally bow down, but I mean, they're under such scrutiny when they come into church. My wife can testify, she'll tell you, we went to a church in Kentucky one time, and that pastor, it was like he was God himself. Everybody in the church, whenever he walked in, I mean, they would bow their head, and the silence would go over whenever the man walked in the room. It's like, who in the world does he think he is? I mean, they was up polishing the pews, and they was up polishing the brass and the gold-looking stuff, you know, and trying to make the church it had to be immaculate. Because he walked in. I'm not going to get into all that about him. But I know some that there are people feel like that. That's bondage. Amen? I respect the position of a pastor, and you are to respect the position of a pastor, but not whenever he's trying to be overbearing and think that he's arrived, because that he's not arrived. Amen? The pastor is used of God to minister to the people. Amen. All right, so the reason I want to go this direction tonight is because many times people have the wrong idea of what a pastor is. Sure, it's quiet. People have the wrong idea sometimes of what a pastor is. The mentality of most believers and most Christians is that the pastor's job is to preach and to sing and to do all the administration of the church. He's to be over everything, and he's to go to the widows and take them a cookie, and he's to go to those in the nursing homes and take them a flower, and he's to go to those in the hospitals and visit with them. And if they got an ingrown toenail, got to have surgery, they got to be there at 4 o'clock in the morning so they can sit there and hold their hand while they're having surgery. I mean, that's just the mentality that people have of a pastor. I've got preacher friends of mine, and I tell them all the time, I say, brother, would you please give me chapter and verse that tells me you have to do that? They're literally running themselves to death. And because of the mentality of the people, they don't want to say anything, hurt anybody's feelings. Bless their heart. But everybody thinks this is their responsibility. This is the pastor's job. We're going to have a good time tonight, I promise. I'll get it out here in just a few minutes. Everybody thinks, or not everybody, but a lot of folks think that. They have this mentality of pastors. They have to do this. They got to go on visitation on Thursday. They got to go somewhere on Friday and visit so-and-so. They got to go Saturday. Then they got to go Sunday. They got 3 times Sunday. They got to preach and teach and do all this stuff. And then Monday morning they get up. He's got to go to the hospital because somebody's having surgery. And on Tuesday night he's got to go at 12 o'clock in the morning to do something because somebody else has got something else going on. And they just run the dear man of God to death. Amen. Now, I said all that to say this, that some people in their faith, they think because they do those things and they have that position, they think that they've arrived. Well, I'm the pastor. That's my responsibility. They do have the responsibilities. Amen. But I'm going somewhere. I want to show you this. Watch this now. Don't let any of us, brethren, the verse of Scripture is speaking to every man. You see that? It's speaking to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Now, there's two sides of that coin. There's the ones that won't do nothing, and then there's the ones that got to do it all. Amen? There's the pastors that understand their position, and their people understand their position. Then there's those that's overbearing, and their people don't do anything except everything rises and falls on every word that he says. All right? Don't want to get too deep in that. I don't want to turn everybody's apple cart upside down. Joshua chapter number 1. Go with me. Joshua chapter number 1. All right. Joshua chapter number 1. The Bible says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun. Watch this now. Moses' minister saying. All right. You see that? Moses' minister. That's what Joshua was. He was a minister. That word minister doesn't mean a pastor. That word minister doesn't mean an evangelist. That word minister means a servant. Right? Go with me, if you would, to the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 10. The Scripture says in verse number 42, but Jesus called unto him and saith unto him, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. There it is again, that word minister. That's not speaking of a pastor. That's not speaking of a preacher. That is speaking of a servant. Right? Shall be your minister or your servant. Whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to be a servant, and to give his life a ransom for many. So we find this word minister in the Scripture. is not speaking of the pastor, it's not speaking of the preacher, but the word minister, biblically speaking, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, it is speaking of a servant. And the Bible says in Mark chapter 10, verse 42 through 45, the chiefest is not the strongest. The chiefest among them is not the wealthiest, but the chiefest among them is the humble servant. Back up and read Mark chapter number 9. Mark chapter number 9, verse number 35. Read that to you. And he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. If any desire to be first, he must be last. And he must be a servant of all. All right, hang in there. Don't give up. We're still moving along. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. And verse number 10. The Bible says, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Boy, that's deep stuff right there. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Now, as we think about this chapter in Romans chapter number 12, to let not any man think more highly of himself. Some people think that they've gotten to a plateau, amen, where they never do anything wrong. Some people think that they've got there to where they do everything right. Amen? Is everybody with me? There's some pastors, amen, that think that it's got to be done this way, no way, it can't be done any other way. It's only their way or the highway. The Bible teaches us that we are to be ministers. And to be a minister is to be a servant. Now, there's a difference in a ministry and a minister. But everybody ought to be a part of the ministry. Everybody is considered biblically to be a minister. Amen? Everybody should be a minister. A minister is a servant or a helper. To serve, to assist, to give, to supply, to furnish. A minister. So we think of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and the Bible teaches us that He humbled Himself and came as a lowly, humble servant. Amen? We know that the Bible teaches us, I don't have time to give you all these verses tonight, but the Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ came humbly, amen, as a servant to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Ain't that what the Bible teaches us? Amen. He gave his life a ransom for many. And he came to serve. And so he is our example. He has set forth the example of the believers. And you and I tonight are to understand that the Bible teaches us that we are to follow suit of our example, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are ministers. So Jesus Christ came to this earth, gave His life, died on the cross for our sins, was buried in a tomb, raised victorious over death and the grave. And so therefore, you and I now can shout the victory that we saved and have that deep settled peace. We understand what it means to be saved and that grace of God has been applied to our life, that righteousness has been applied to our life. And so the Lord has set forth the example for us to be ministers and that we're not to think more highly of ourselves than what we ought to think. We ought not think that just because we're saved, we're better than everybody else. Just because we're in a position don't mean we're better than anybody else. Just because we got a church that can seat more folks than some little church down the road don't make us any better than anybody else. Amen? Because pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before fall. Amen? So we understand now that we're saved by the good grace of God. God has commissioned us to be ministers. And so now that we have that grace applied to our life and we know what it takes to be saved, we are to to help someone else. We're to carry that gospel message. We're to be a servant to the lost man. We're to take that to... Listen, many people think that it's the pastor's job to go into all the community, knock on every door. You'll not find chapter and verse to back that up. Amen. The Bible teaches it's everybody's responsibility. Everybody's to be a minister, to take the gospel, to go out and tell others, those that are lost, those that you work with, those that's in your family, those that's in your neighborhood. We're to share the gospel with them and tell them, amen. Don't think more highly of yourself. Well, I'm saved. I'm not worried about them. That's a prideful thought. Amen. I need to share with them what God has done for me because they need salvation too. Amen. That's our individual responsibility. All right. We're to be ministers. Now, the Bible teaches us in verse number, Ephesians chapter number 4, the Bible teaches us this very thing in Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Not only are we to use our bodies in going and telling the gospel message to those around us, but we're also to use our mouth, whatever word that comes out of it, that our mouth, our words, minister grace unto the hearers. If you turn on the television set or turn on the radio, there's not much comes out of it that ministers grace unto your hearing. The child of God has a responsibility as a minister, as a servant to the lost, and to a servant to those that even are saved, to minister grace to the hearers. The things that come out of our mouth, amen, it ought to minister grace. Amen, that's good preaching. Even if I am trying to do it, amen. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto them or unto the hearers. And then the Bible says in verse 13, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. What does that mean? That means every time you say something against somebody, you're grieving the Holy Spirit of God. And those words, you're not being a servant for the Lord, you're being a servant for the flesh or for the devil when you use words that tear down and destroy somebody. And it grieves the Holy Spirit of God. You want God in your life? You want the blessings of God in your life? Have a humble spirit, amen, and follow the Holy Spirit, and be careful with the words you choose. That's good preaching. Amen. It's not popular preaching, but it's good preaching. It's Bible preaching. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. God forgive you, God can forgive them. Amen. The mentality of some people is that there's just a select few in the church that can do anything. There's only the pastor that can visit. There's only the deacons that can do certain things within the church. There's only the teachers in the church can only do certain things. There's only, it ain't like that. The Bible doesn't teach that. We're all ministers. We're all servants. Let me say this tonight. If someone cleans the church and Miss Teresa does a great job, and she's not our servant, or slave, let me put it that way. She's not our slave, amen. She's a servant for the Lord. And she does a good job at what she does. Now, it would be wrong of us, it would be prideful of us, to go to Miss Teresa and say, well, you didn't do that right. Well, I want you to clean this, and I want you to clean that, and I want you to do this over here too while you're doing it, because that's what you do. That's wrong. That's the wrong attitude. Amen. We're not to be Lord over someone. We're to be humble. And what we ought to do is go to Miss Teresa. Can you give me that rag? Can I wipe that for you? Can I vacuum that for you? Can I help you do that? That's being a minister. You know why that is? Because if she's over there vacuuming and her back's killing her, and you grab that vacuum cleaner, here, let me help you with that, it eases the pain. That's ministry. Amen. That's ministry. We work together, we pull together, amen? That's ministry. Everybody's involved in ministry. Well, I would never clean a toilet. I'd never do that. Well, you've got a problem with pride. I don't have a problem at all going back there and scrubbing the toilet. Matter of fact, one of these little ones gets something on the floor of the bathroom, I'll get down on my hands and knees and I'll get it up. Amen? It's not because I'm better than anybody else. Somebody's got to get it up. Amen? Get it up. That's ministry. That's what we're all supposed to do. It's not the, I'm trying to get this across tonight, and I'm really struggling because I'm running out of time. It's not the pastor's job to do everything. And some people get that idea that the pastor has to do it all. Pastor don't have to do it all. He's got one job, biblically, he has one job, and that is to preach the Word of God. Amen. That's his job. Amen? So here's what we have. We have a pastor, and I have chapter and verse, but I don't have time tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 13, we find that Paul had requested his coat and his books and his parchments and things like that. And he sent a word to Timothy. He said, bring me my books, bring me my coat, and bring me these things to prison. And Timothy, as a servant, gets all those things and he takes them to him. Now, Timothy was a young preacher. He's a pastor. But yet Paul, he requested something. He said, I'll bring it. I'll get it. And he takes all those things and he takes them to the man of God because the man of God needed it. And so what we find as we study through these chapters and many other chapters of the Bible, but we find that the man of God has so much to do in his prayer time and his study time. And some people think that just because that they feel a urge to get behind a pulpit that they can preach. The Bible teaches us that there's those that prophesy, which is ministry, pastoring, preaching, those that teach. In Romans chapter number 12, let me back up real quickly, read that verse of Scripture once again. Those that teach, verse number 7, those that exhort, those that give, those that... there's all sorts of different jobs. And the thing about it is that the Bible says to those that pastor hold a different position than the rest of the church. The Bible says in the book of Acts, you find that they chose out 7 men among them. That's when the first deacons come about. Because the men of God that couldn't take a biscuit over there and go over here and go over there and pray and preach and do everything that needed to be done, he couldn't do it. But there was others in that crowd. Amen. And they could take the Bible and they could open up the Word of God and they could teach and they could share the Word of God with folks. But God didn't call them to do that. God calls men of God to preach the Word of God, to be over the administration of the church. Amen. He has a lot to keep up with. Amen. And I said all that to say this, some people get in a position and they think more highly of themselves because they have degrees they think they can pastor. God's never called a lot of them to the pulpit. Amen. Y'all with me? I'm picking on preacher's night, I know. But listen, a lot of them think that they can pastor and they can't. Just because you can teach the Word of God, just because you can speak the words that God puts on you, doesn't make you a qualified pastor. God hasn't put you there. But when God puts a pastor there, there's others that still have that ability. They can teach. They can go do the things that the pastor don't have time to do. And so with that humble spirit, they come and say, preacher, I'll go do that. Well, I think of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was preparing for ministry and trying to write a book. The Holy Spirit laid it on his heart to write a book. Amen. And pen some words down. And he's trying to do all these things. And then he begins to think about the church. And he begins to think about some of the saints. And he says, I wonder how those saints over there are doing. And Timothy says, I'll go check on them. Oh, no, you don't have to do that. That's a lot of work. It's a lot of traveling. It's going to cost you. I'll go do that. Because the man of God was concerned about those believers. And he seen that the man of God had a need. And he said, I'll go do that. I'll do that. You stay here and study. You do what you need to do. And I'll go check on them. And I'll bring word back. You know what that is? That's being in the ministry. Although they're not pastor, although their name is not on the marquee, and they're still in the ministry. Everybody sitting in this room tonight can be in the ministry. Amen? You can be in the ministry because to be a minister is a servant. And we serve one another. Amen? We help one another. We exhort one another. Some people have the gift. Brother W.R. has mentioned it many times in the men's prayer room. I want to be an exhorter. I want to be one that exhorts people and lifts people up. And I can testify and tell you he's very good at it. Amen? He's lifted me up many times. And he's good at being an exhorter. God's given him the gift to be an exhorter. Amen? And he does a great job at it. Some of us, listen, we've got gifts and we've got talents. And everybody's got something that you can do in the ministry. Brother Casey was going out the other night, and I said, what kind of work do you do? What do you like to do? And he said, well, you know, I like to do carpentry work and paint. And I said, hey, I've got some painting that needs to be done. Amen. I mean, there's plenty of things to do. It's not that, it's not that somebody's better than somebody else at what they do. It's that it's an opportunity to serve in the ministry. Don't think that you're the only one that can paint. Don't think that you're the only one that can sing. Don't think that you're the only one that can clean. Don't think that you're the only one that can do whatever. Amen? You're not. You're easily replaceable. If you don't believe me, ask God. He'll tell you. You're easily replaceable. And it's not that we get so high-minded and think that we're the greatest. We're not. We're ministers. Amen? The man of God has a job to do, and his job is not to have to... I've been preaching for several weeks, and I'm not saying this tonight because we have problems. I like to preach a lot of times for preventive maintenance. Y'all know what that is? Preventive maintenance. Whenever you take your car and get the oil changed in it before it blows up, that's called preventive maintenance. Amen? Whenever you get your tires rotated and all that before they wear out, that's called preventive maintenance. I like to preach a preventive maintenance style. Amen? I tell it before it happens. Amen? So prayerfully, it don't happen. Amen? I'm not saying all this tonight because everybody's coming against each other. I'm telling us tonight that if we work together, if we learn what the Bible says, to let our light so shine before me, and they see our good works, they glorify our Heavenly Father. We know that we're of God, to God, through God. We're all about God. Amen. And our life should consist of everything that goes on in the church. I set my schedule because of things that's going on at the church. Well, I can't. I got this at the church. Well, I can't. I got this at the church. Well, I can't do that on Sunday because I'm going to church. Amen. And my life is based around the church. And somebody calls me the other day and they say, hey, I need you to do this or that. What day can you do that? And I said, well, as long as it's not on Sunday or Wednesday, we'll work it out. But now I've got Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We're going on a Baptist history tour and I can't do it none of those days. But believe it or not, I've got things to do on Thursday, and I got something to do on Saturday because people just won't take no for an answer. But I'll work it out. Amen. I can do it. It's not all about everybody getting one little job and think that they're the greatest at what they do. It's everybody working together. That we don't think more highly of ourselves. The pastor's not the greatest at pastor. I promise you, I'm not the greatest pastor you ever heard or you're ever here. Amen. I'm not. I know that. Nobody has to write me a note and tell me that. I know that, amen. But God called me and put me in my position, and I'm trying to do what I can for the Lord, amen. I'm trying to do the best job that I can with what God's given me. He's given me my brain, He's given me my mind, and I try to do the best I can with it. When it comes to ministering the talents that you have, the gifts that God's given you. Well, preacher, I don't have a gift. I can't play an instrument. I can't sing, and I don't know anything. I can't, but you can pray. Amen? Well, what good is that? Lord, have mercy. Don't ever ask that question. What good is that? We need more prayer warriors. Amen? The shut-ins at home think that they can't be a part of the ministry. Oh, yes, they can. Amen? They can get a hold of God. They're in a secret place for hours. Amen? And they can get a hold of the Lord and they can pray and spend time with God. That's what the church needs, is some more prayer warriors. There's something for everybody to do. Amen? And so we find that the Lord has told us, and I'm trying to find a stopping spot real quickly right here, but the Lord has told us that nobody's greater than anybody else. Amen. We're all servants for the Lord. Now, you respect your pastor because your pastor is your spiritual leader. Amen. You respect him. And listen, whether it's me or whether it's another pastor, you respect your pastor because of his position and leadership to lead you spiritually. And you pray for your pastor. Amen. And I say that because your pastor needs prayer. And I pray for you. And I go through my mind every morning, every day. I go through my mind. I know where everybody sits. So even when we have visitors, I know when we got visitors. I might not remember 2 weeks later if they don't come back. But I know when we have visitors. And I pray for the folks that's in our church. Amen. And I try to remember the best I can the prayer request. I know there's a lot of requests and I try to remember. But I pray for the folks of the church. That's my duty. And not only is it a duty, but it's my privilege to call on the Lord for you. Amen. Call on the Lord for you. And I enjoy doing that. I don't mind doing that. So you pray for me, I pray for you. That's how this thing works. Amen. And we work together. I'm not the greatest, neither are you. Amen. And so when somebody wants to partake in something and try to help you do what you're doing, amen, let them jump right in there and help you. Well, they can't do it like I do it. Well, how do you know? You ever let them try? Well, if they make a mess out of it, say, well, you know, you tried last time. You really made a mess out of it. Maybe that's just not your niche. Listen, it's okay to tell them that. Why is that? Because they've got a humble spirit. They ought to have. And if they don't, they're not going to get to do much anyway. Think highly of ourselves. We're all ministers. I want to try to get this thought across to us tonight because so many people have the wrong idea of what Christianity is. Christianity, in essence, is telling others about Jesus Christ and then showing others that love of Jesus Christ. Working together, pulling together in the church. God's blessed us. You know that? God's blessed us, first of all, in salvation. When God blesses us, we take those blessings that He's given. He don't give us those blessings just to store them up and hide them for a rainy day. There's a good description of that in the Bible. What am I going to do with all my goods? I'll tear down my barns and build some new ones. God don't give us the blessings to hoard those things up. God blesses us so we can be a blessing to somebody else. God's give us our talents that we can use, not just to sit at home and not ever do anything, but God's give us our talents to use so we can be a blessing to somebody else. Amen? God gives us our job. God gives us our mind. God gives us those things that we can have so we can use that money that God allows us to have to be a blessing to somebody else. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Amen? God gives us those things. So whenever we learn what it is to be a minister and we start our ministry in ministering and being a servant to one another, loving each other and pulling together, God blesses. Amen? God blesses you as an individual. God blesses us as a whole, collectively as a church. And then people on the outside want to see what's going on the inside. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the privilege.